Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face issues each and every day. I pray that it's a challenge to you, that it's informative, convicting, and directive, that it would cause us to be salt and light in a dark and decaying society in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That is the linkage there. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. That's the truth through the Word of God. And it's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. Then Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And further he says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should cause us to wake up, sit up, smell the coffee, as the old cliche goes, and be obedient to what God's Word says. As we face the issues, we do so according to the Scripture. In fact, I'm prone to be reminded of Proverbs 29 and verse 2. "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." And the Scripture says further in Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." I think we've forgotten that, ladies and gentlemen. That's the poignant point that I want us to understand in this broadcast today. We're going to be asking the question or making the statement, the results of abandoning God. The results of abandoning God. What we're seeing today, let me just give you a little nutshell pre-introduction to the monologue and where we're going. What we're watching today on a national scale is as a result of abandoning God. You wonder why it seems that there's nothing tied down. If you wonder why in the past 12 to 18 months in particular, we've seen rioting in the streets, burning, pillage, robbing, murders, and there's silence in Washington. If you wonder why it seems that there are no rules and regulations for what's done in the political process, have you wondered why there can be so much taking place that's illegal when it comes to ballot harvesting and the voting laws and regulations? Have you wondered why so many of the states and across America have introduced laws, passed laws, that will allow the voting to go on beyond November the 3rd? Have you wondered what is the motivation and the modus operandi in carrying that out? Have you wondered why, ladies and gentlemen, we have schools that are teaching everything but education? Have you wondered why we have the end result with our kids coming out of the schools today with a four-year or higher degree in their pocket, but they cannot read, write, do not know proper grammar, et cetera, et cetera? Have you wondered why, ladies and gentlemen, that we're finding today the major conflict and the battle between good and evil on the played out on the political stage that we're watching take place? Ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest that it's as a result of abandoning God. We've abandoned God. We're going to talk about that today. And that telephone number, if you want to jump in with the dialogue and discussion, telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about these issues, it's from the central biblicist viewpoint, and that is based on the truth of the Word of God. We're living in a society today, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is disdained, that truth is not viewed as being viable or valuable. In fact, it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be more and more clear each day as the days come and go in the era of the election process and what's being said and done. But from the Christian standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, we should basically, and I have adopted this as basically a theme term. Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, had a powerful statement that, and by the way, I don't agree with all of his theology. I've read behind him, and I understand there are a lot of things that is a little clearer today in the 21st century in theological understanding than it was then. So I give him credit for some things that he said that's good, and this is one of them. He says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. May I say, defend the truth, as he said, even to death. And I believe we're on the cusp, we're on the very verge of seeing that become a reality in America. And I say that because we're watching church persecution and prosecution in America that I never dreamed possible. We're watching churches being fined $1,000 a day, $10,000 a day. One church, $112,000, where pastors are put in jail, where those church members are fined as a result of going to church. On the guise of the Wuhan China virus, that some liberal governors and mayors think that somehow, some way, they must put a thumb on the church and padlock the church doors. It's because we have abandoned God. We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you will call others and tell them to tune in, because I believe this broadcast today is very vital for us to understand. Just a few days before an election, it's vital for us to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators. Tools for a Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about landscape equipment, both for the professional and for the homeowner, as well as answering your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flag, U.S. flag, is flowing 24/7. Flag is on a pole about 165 feet there. Gigantic, huge flag, 24/7. Find that flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today results, the results of abandoning God. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue on our march as a nation. Just a few days, we will determine. You will, if you vote, and I pray that you'll vote. We will, we the people, will determine the destiny of America. It will determine whether or not we're going to have a socialist, Marxist, communist form of government with Joe Biden at the helm as the dictator, or others that will push him out and become the key leader. We're going to make the determination whether or not that's the route that we're going to take for American presidency and the future of America on November the 3rd. We'll make the determination if we want to maintain a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read an article that reads, Democratic Party leaders vows to lie, cheat, and steal to win. That's the headline. Democratic Party leader vows to lie, cheat, and steal to win. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to read you some blurbs from this article, and it sets succinctly the pace that I want us to look at on this broadcast today. where we're talking about the results of abandoning God. You would have never dreamed, I would have never dreamed, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, I would have never thought that it would be possible for this to be the mindset, the modus operandi for a party in order to get ahead in an election. Now, I understand, I'm not naive enough to believe that somehow, some way, that there would be nothing that would be illegal going on with either party. I believe that's been historically the truth because it is made up of humanity. And humanity, the scripture says, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. And as a result of that, we see wickedness taking place, always have and always shall, until the Lord Jesus Christ snatches the church out in what's called the rapture. And then the wrap up after the 7 years of tribulation with Jesus Christ returning. And it says in Revelation, the 19th chapter, verses 17 and following, that he will slay them with the sword of his mouth. That is the spoken word. He will bring about justice and he will bring about judgment. But ladies and gentlemen, this article is frightening, especially if you are not founded in the scripture, if you're not rooted in the word of God, if you do not have a faith in God as being sovereign and in control, this could be earth-shaking. This article says a Democratic Party leader in Colorado says the 2020 election amounts to a revolution, meaning lying, cheating, and stealing, a morally, no, his term, morally acceptable actions if they bring about the defeat of President Donald J. Trump in November. That's the first paragraph. Christopher Jacks, a member of the Executive Committee of the Colorado Democratic Party, expressed his belief in an undercover video released by Project Veritas. Quote, I'm going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie. I will cheat. I will steal. Notice now it says morally acceptable. That's because we live in a society today where it's become the norm, morally acceptable, to lie, to cheat, to steal. And I could go on and on and on with the other things that would add to that, use drugs, drinking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have come to the point where we have disavowed, disobeyed, banned God to the point that God no longer rules and reigns with anything that's called the written, revealed, inspired word of God. But this article says, I'm going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment. In other words, it's situation ethics. Because we want to win, we can then displace what would be otherwise considered a sterling moral standard for that of lying, cheating, and stealing, etc. He says, absolutely. We are pirates on a pirate ship, he said. And by the way, keep in mind, this is as a result of an undercover video with Project Veritas, which has been able to uncover a lot of things in the past number of years that otherwise we would have never known. He says, I want to make the point very loudly and very clearly. He continued, I said it nicely before, but I'll say it more crudely now. 2020 is a political revolution. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he was saying that in a crass fashion, but I say that we are in the midst of a political revolution. And it's my book that I published in 2012, Is It Time for a Revolution? Is more acutely real today than it was in 2012 under the Obama administration. But there will be a revolution. We are in a revolution. My prayer has always been that it would be the ballot box rather than the battlefield to carry out the revolution. But this continues. This man speaking, Project Veritas founder and CEO James O'Keefe, said his investigative organization has been following Jacks, this is the man's name, Jacks, for a long time, meeting him in initially during the presidential primary race. Jacks insisted to an undercover Project Veritas journalist that violence by the left can be justified. Quote, I think the right wing has a monopoly right now on strong, violent rhetoric. And I think they underestimate how many people on the left are organized, trained, armed, and ready to go to war. And I think all it will take is our members. This is now the left radical that says it's all right to cheat, lie, and steal, involved in the Democratic Party in Colorado. He says further, I think all it will take is for our members, and remember that, yeah, there's a reason you guys feared the communists more than you feared the Nazis. The left has an army, he said. We're going to show up in numbers. We're going to show up in mass. He said the violent wing is something. You have to have a back pocket, he said. Jack spoke about what might happen if Trump is reelected. I'm going to be in my garage right next to my gun safe all night long. And on the 3rd, that's the 3rd of November, because that is how seriously I take this stuff, he said. He said if tensions escalate to a civil war, the left should call on like-minded military veterans. Well, when it comes to civil war, violent type stuff, there's always military guys, like former guys that stand up for the right thing, he said. He said the left may need to assassinate some billionaires. Yes, you're going to get people that are close to billionaires and start just randomly shooting billionaires, billionaires will start turning up dead. And nobody knows what happened. Nope, I don't know. They just turned up dead. It's going to take a strategic hit that the 1% that's in charge causes who is to be killed. He warned that the moderate Democrats would be targeted along with some Republicans, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a call to battle. Ladies and gentlemen, that's explaining exactly how the left, the Democrats, the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party called the Democrats, that's exactly how they view it. So just how did we get to this point, ladies and gentlemen, where that can be openly spoken of, not realizing he was being videotaped and audioed and what he's saying? How can it be that we've gotten to that devolution, that point of devolving morally, ethically, and biblically, when a Democratic Party leader says it's all right to cheat, lie, and steal, and to talk about being ready because we're in a revolution, to go out and kill billionaires, blaming billionaires for the problems of the nation? That's been the rhetoric coming out of a socialist, Maoist, Marxist, communist party called the Democrats. That's been their mantra for years. It's dividing society, ladies and gentlemen, based on the have and the have-nots. It's dividing society, saying that if you have been successful in business, if you made millions of dollars, if you own your own home, if you own your own business, if you have things that the life, that the world has to offer, that somehow you're the bad guy and we need to take it away. The Democratic Party, ladies and gentlemen, become the Robin Hood methodology. You steal by way of taxation. You steal from the rich and you give it to those that are doing nothing. The scripture is very clear. If you are not willing to work, you should not eat. Now, I understand, and I'm not advocating, monstrating against those that need, that perhaps society needs to take care of. That's what we understand. Of course, it wouldn't even been in the position of the governmental responsibility had the churches for all of these centuries done what the churches were designed of God to do in relationship to taking care of the household of faith. This would not be a problem. But ladies and gentlemen, how did we get to this point with this open revolution? With this open civil disobedience that's taking place in our great nation? How do we get there? Since where is it acceptable? When is it acceptable, ladies and gentlemen, for either political party to take the attitude that anything goes so long as we win in the end? And that's the mantra that I just sensed in the article that I just read blurbs from, where it is verbalized behind the scenes. We're not realizing they will be heard or seen, that this is what they are going to do. Today, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump seeks re-election. But in the seeking of re-election, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've thought of it, of the battle that he faces. I don't know if you've considered the uphill swim that he's in. I watched on the early morning news on Fox, and they're using some comparative charts showing the reserves that's on hand for the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. The Democrats have raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $485 million, about $200 million of that just in the last 90 days. And the total in the till for the Republican Party is about $285 million. So let's just compare and say one has about $500 million for round figures and the other has about $300 million for round figures. And much of that, if not most of that, coming into the Biden campaign, coming from what is called dark money sources. That's PACs, P-A-C, the political activist groups that's put together. And in those PACs, they have funds coming in from Russia and China and Iran and going into those PACs so that it'll be washed, and then from the PACs it's being distributed to Joe Biden campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching President Trump facing the entourage of the enemies that do not want him to be reelected because it cuts off the pipeline of pay for play in the Democrats and multitudes in the Republican Party today. President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little litany of those that are in opposition to President Trump's reelection. I don't know if you consider it or not. It's fascinating. He is being opposed by the CIA, the FBI, the socialist left-wing media, the false liberal radio and television media. He is being opposed by China and Russia, George Soros, Mike Bloomberg, the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, some Republican Never Trumpers, the Council on Foreign Relations, Antifa and BLM, Big Tech, and others. How do you win a battle like that? Only by the intervention of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, let me tuck this in at this point. I believe there is a need now to pray specifically that asking God to intercede, to ask God to heal our land and to allow President Trump to be reelected, that will give us, if nothing more, will give America a four-year reprieve from going down the pipe of a socialist Marxist governmental system in America, where we would lose all of our rights. We would lose our Constitution if we do not put President Trump back in office. Here's an article that is a little informative. How Trump can outwit the deep state and remain in power. If President Trump wins the November election, it will be a miracle. I've said that many times, ladies and gentlemen. But miracles happen. Former Trump campaign deputy chairman Rick Gates said, the Trump factor could be even bigger this year, and that the projected blue wave could end up in ruins. Blue wave, speaking of the Democrats. If not, as the results come in, Trump will have to make the case in a national television address that the intelligence agencies have been misusing federal sources and government power for political purposes. He will have to argue that the election process has been subverted by the use of taxpayer and government resources to keep the deep state in power. He will have to say that big tech companies under control of the left-wing activists abused their monopoly power under federal law to destroy the ability of his campaign to participate in a free and fair election. With Trump, our last freely elected president in power, he will have no choice but to remain in the White House until the gross attack on our democratic republic and our rights as the free Americans come to an end. These steps are necessary because in my more than 40 years in Washington, D.C., this is the writer stating this, I have never seen an alignment of forces like this mobilized against a freely elected president. This goes far beyond partisanship to subversion and open treason, end quote. Big tech has always been an enemy to the president, but the suppression by Facebook and Twitter on New York Post revelations about Hunter Biden, we're going to talk about that later in this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, about Hunter Biden using his father to make business deals in China, Ukraine, is unprecedented. Trump is truly a dissident to the corrupt forces known as deep state or the swamp dominating Washington, D.C. Further, this article says clearly, the Trump presidency has threatened powerful interest in government, corporations, and the media, which are committed to the convergence of capitalism and communism through such mechanisms as free trade and involvement in global institutions. The article goes, it's about a 5 or 6 page article. But ladies and gentlemen, there's already the consensus that this election can be stolen. And what does President Trump do if he knows that it's stolen, if there's evidence that it's stolen, if there's cause for action because of it, because of the treasonous actions of those on the left? What is he to do? And this is the reason Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and others are already whispering What if Trump refuses to leave the office? What if Trump refuses to leave the White House if he loses the election? This is the reason so many times in an interview with Trump by the left media, they're asking him, well, if you lose the election, will you leave peacefully? Will you leave the White House willingly? Or will you have to be forced to leave? And the stage is being set, ladies and gentlemen, for an open civil war in America. And it's as a result of we the people, we as moral, ethical believers, we as Christians, we as a nation in general, we have abandoned God. We've left God out. So, ladies and gentlemen, just how should we view the state and the condition that America's in today? I believe that we're here as a result of refusing to honor God. I believe that we're here as a result of abandoning God. I believe that we're here as a result of even Christians being anemic in the Word of God, totally illiterate in the Word of God, without any idea of what God says in the Scripture from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. I believe that we're in a state in our society today where there is an anemic Christian society. And as a result of that, anything that we're told by the socialist, Marxist, communist media and the left, we're willing to just simply knuckle under, buckle under, receive it, bow to it, close the churches, and pastors hide in the closet or under the beds while Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted in America. That could only be done as a result of anemia, spiritually speaking. We have abandoned God. We've abandoned God's word. No longer, ladies and gentlemen, do we have prayer and Bible in the public schools. No longer do we have discipline in our homes or in our schools for the children growing up. No longer is it required that there be discipline on the part of a child. The classrooms are simply jungles with teachers trying to control the disobedience rather than being able to teach. Here's an article that says, our primary problem, Americans have forgotten God. It's a cliche to say that is the most important election of our lifetime, that yet it is, but I fully feel strongly that this is the most important election that we've seen in our lifetimes, this writer is saying. There's so much at stake. Above all is the question of whether we will continue as one nation under God, where we'll embrace America as founded, or will we completely jettison all pretense of our national motto, In God We Trust. I think our problems can be traced back to this simple truth. We have forgotten God. That's why all of these bad things are happening to us, this writer says. Founding Father Patrick Henry warned, it is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains, end quote. The late Alexander Solzhenitsyn was the great chronicler of what President Reagan rightfully called the evil empire, i.e. the failed Soviet Union. The Nobel Prize-winning author spent about a decade of his life in the Soviet gulag for the veiled criticism of Stalin in one private, simple letter. Solzhenitsyn said, while I was still a child, I recalled hearing a number of older people offer the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. They said, and I quote in this letter, this article, men have forgotten God. That's why all of this has happened. And ladies and gentlemen, it seemingly is taking place as a result of forgetting God, abandoning God in American society today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to turn back to God, turn back to the Word of God, allowing the fundamental foundation of the Scripture be our premise for all that we do and say in society. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue the results of abandoning God on Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.